23-140, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved that Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:29 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-149, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held February 21st, 2023. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have respect and acknowledgement. We should do that first. We'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land on which we gather is the traditional unceded territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. And nothing for a public meeting. If there are any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest for the regular council meeting and general nature thereof, hearing none. Under delegation and presentations, now we have Linda West, president of Perry Sound Rotary Club, but I guess...
I can't identify myself.
Okay. We have a microphone up there, if you wish.
I'll take it. Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Linda is taking her husband down to a medical appointment in the area we made, so she was very important. So I'm taking your place. My name is Phil Black. Mm-hmm. I'm the treasurer of the Perry Sound Rotary Club, Perry Sound District Rotary Club, I should say. And this is Roman Schwara, who is our next president, and he's also a resident of McKellar. He'll be taking over on June 1st of this year. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about next year, that's the first to talk to. I want to thank you all for having giving us the time to speak with you today. First of all, I'd like to say that the presentation is just briefly about the Rotary Club, what our objectives are, and what we're doing in the community presently. I'm sure you're all familiar with the term Rotary Club. It's very international, but specific to the communities that we serve, and we do serve communities in all respects. Response to identify the needs. I won't read them out. Please have a look at them, and at the end, if you'd like to have any questions, I'll just comment on some aspects of what the slides are about. Basically, that says that we look for partners in the community to work with us most effectively. The Rotary Club, in its basis of operation, way back from the beginning of the last century, we organized on the basis of different disciplines, qualifications, and a very sort of that. We only had one person, one lawyer, one doctor, and so forth. We've expanded from that. We have teachers now, but we have a geography teacher, a health teacher, and so forth. So we expand accordingly who are willing to join us and willing to contribute what they do. So that was the intent, and that way we can serve the community better by combining our knowledge and producing good results. But we do partnerships with non-Rotarians, and when we do a project, we look for skills that are we can use to incorporate into that project to make it successful. Now, next slide, please. I'm here actually more today too to develop into how we raise our money. And this, the three pitch, is event that happens every Father's Day every year, and we've taken it over from the Reach. You may recall the Reach, a very very good thing, very successful. They did 17 years, made $1 million for. I think it's the cancer hospital down in Toronto, St. Margaret's, is it?
Princess Margaret.
Princess Margaret, that's what it's called. We took it over with the objective of keeping the money in the community. A major fundraiser like this, we don't like to send money out of the community when it can be used in the community, sort of thing. And the community is the broader area of Parry Sound District. They were successful in getting up to $70,000. We've only made $50,000 each year, but that's pretty darn good. So it's our major fundraiser, and that's net after all expenses. We donate $20,000 in every case, pretty well every year. They get the first $20,000 goes to the hospital, and that's directed to the cancer research, or not necessarily research, but ability to handle cancer patients to the best of their ability. And the rest goes and stays in the community. So everything that we raise stays in the community. It's nice because a lot of the players and teams that come in are from outside the community, and they're bringing their money in. That's the way we like to see it too. Next slide. Just a montage of what we do and where we there's another one coming up. The main support in Christmas is the turkey hamper. That is extremely successful. We started off with just doing 100 baskets, which feeds six people, six family members, and leftovers possibly two. So there's quite a bit of the basket. Some of the basket is given by crofters and other people in their businesses in the community, which makes a very full basket. It used to be $25 a basket, now it's $40, and that's just changed over the year. But we were able to, which means we had to raise $4,000 to do 100 baskets. We raised the year before last $12,000. Last year it was $11,000, so we got a bit well beyond it. And it all goes to the Salvation Army for distribution. We don't make the choices who get it paid. When Easter comes, we get there's a lot of older people out there that need some food, and we try to make sure we get as many packages out there as we can. Of course, we'll go on to the Ukrainian situation later, but we make money from bingo. We just jumped into that, and immediately after we jumped into it, the Catholic Church got back into it, and the Presbyterian Church got back into it. So our net amount went down a couple of bucks there, but that's okay. They're good causes too. We work together, all of the community people, and we don't try not to step on anybody's toes. But they step on ours sometimes. But that's the way it is. District grants, we're really successful, thanks to Linda and a couple of other people in our group, obtaining district grants, which is going back into the organization of the International Rotary and getting them from head office and getting them from a district. In that case, we really supplemented projects in the community for money from one side coming in. We've got some library projects on the next week we'll have. I'll show you. Another montage. We've been able to get since July 1st, $147,000 spent in the community. So a lot of that was raised in the community or from people coming in on a $60,000 account, but boost the community, some cottagers and so forth. I think whether it's 16,000 standard residents and the rest are supplemented and so on. So we get it from lots of areas, but at the same time, the district grants and the grants that come in, where not just district or international, but grants from other areas, are not necessarily included in that, but we do get them and we're able to put them into the community. The Ukrainian situation, I won't go into it. There's so much there to discuss, and I'll just pass on to the next one. But we brought 70 Ukrainians into the community who are all, pretty well all, employed. We have some that we're still supporting, and it's well within our means to do so. We've also set up a Rotaract Club so that the 30 have joined on the Ukrainians, and they're raising their own money. They've got an event going on March 4th, a dinner, Ukrainian dinner in Bobby Orr, and they're raising money. They have sold 71 tickets so far, and that break even is 40. So they're building up their bank account as well. And that will be our transition from looking after them, bringing them in, to having to look after themselves. So if they need money, if a Ukrainian family needs money, they'll be going to the Rotaract Club. So we're helping them with their structure, and we've given them some seed money to get started. But ultimately, they'll be independent, and they look after their own community, which is, and then we can, and we haven't lost track of looking after our usual business in town, sort of thing, looking after the community. The budget that we set last year was even more for the community that we're spending in the community from our resources. The money that we spent relative to these 70 Ukrainians was donated specifically by people relative to the community, the Ukrainian cause. So none of the community money we budgeted flowed in that direction. So it was self-sustaining and will be in the future. So it's a very successful project right now. I encourage you to go to that dinner that's being advertised now. And it's a cultural thing, too. I guess there's no more to discuss on that, really. We're very interested in the youth in the community. We've set up library programs. We make sure that the people the families are aware of the programs that are available to them. And that's something we've kind of adopted recently, more recently than anything. Next slide, please. Well, I should mention, though, that with the Ukrainians outside the community, we've been successful, too, because of our relationship with other 34,000 Rotary clubs around the world. There was one that we particularly saddled up with in Mykolaiv. That's between Odessa and Kherson, where the battle line was drawn. And they were even being shelled at one time. But our club there, we reached out to them, and what do you need? We need medical supplies. We need burn aspects, because they were shelling with these incendiary bombs and so forth, and the people who were coming in, women and children mostly, were burned. And they needed particular equipment that they didn't have. We were able to raise 25,000 US from our grants, not from the community, from our grants. And shipped that over to directly, took it right to the club there, and they bought equipment from that club. The next need was generators, as you may recall from the news, because they were in the bomb shelter. We were able to get them a grant for $25,000 again US for the generator for a bomb shelter. That was a darn big one too, so that was done. So we not only were able to look after our community, look after our Ukrainians fleeing the war, we were able to actually reach out from Parry Sound and drop these two key elements off in the community, right at the front line. So we're not wasting any money we get on that. Next slide, please. Basically we're just selling ourselves here and saying that this is who we are looking for, and we invite people to join Rotary, and anybody around this table, we certainly would love to have, and at that table too. So please feel free to contact Roma or myself or anybody in Rotary to introduce you to what we do personally, particularly. And next slide. This is just a repeat of what I said, the three pitches, 16, 17, and 20,000 people guaranteed to go to the cancer research and the death. So keeping the theme of the reach turnout in our program. And it's quite a good, nice occasion good bands there and everything. Next slide. That's about it. Yeah, and thank you very much for your time. I'll answer any questions or roll them up if you have any.
Great. Well, thanks very much for coming out. And the COVID-19's in decline, is it? There's no more work there, or are you still operating with the COVID-19 and the food?
Yeah, we did the pandemic.
That was excellent. There was an awful lot of work there in volunteers.
There's thousands and thousands of meals we took up, but we had, 30, we had 30 in our club, and there was over 70, about 70 volunteers, and that included fire departments, emergency workers, and all sorts of people jumped in and helped with the deliveries and police. So that was quite successful, but we've carried on now the deliveries to certain people that really need it and have always needed it, but we picked that up. So we do have a delivery program still in place right now. It is certainly far down from what we used to do. But yeah, we consider that a success. Mm-hmm. And thank you. Anything else, sir? All right.
Good work.
Thank you.
Mind if we leave?
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I have resolution 23-150, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Phil Black, Treasurer of the Rotary Club of Prairie Sound. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Adoption of minutes. We have resolution 23-151, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February 7th, 2023 regular meeting of Council and the minutes of the February 14th, 2023 special meeting of Council as circulated. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Planning matters 15.1. We have Jameson consent application B56/2022 McKellar. And we have a resolution that we'll start with and then open it up for discussion. We have resolution 23-152, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the application to create three new rural residential lots as applied for by Joseph Jameson in the consent application number B56/2022 McKellar, together with the right-of-way subject to the following conditions. Number one, rezoning the lands proposed to be severed to rural residential, RR. Two, conveying to the Township of McKellar the 20-meter road allowance that incorporates Grayall Road through the subject lands. Three, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland dedication in accordance with the Township fee bylaw. Four, 911 addressing at the time of an entrance of building permit application. Five, payment of any applicable planning fees. And six, verification from the Director of Operations that each new lot can accommodate an entrance onto Gray Owl Road. And before we open it up discussion, maybe we'll just have some input from our Patrick Christie, who's here on behalf of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board, and want to give us some background on this. And this is our resolution as it stands, and I know this was an email back and forth and discussions.
Okay. Yes, as you stated, it's a consent to create three new rural lots and one retained waterfront lot. There's been some discussion about the creation of three new lots in the rural designation. And also, I've been speaking to the applicant who does not wish to have the road taken over by the municipality. And there's also been discussion about the fact that if the road was taken over by the municipality, it may create a natural severance of lands that are not flooded on the other side of the road. So I know that the lands on the other side of Grail Road are most of it you see on the consent sketch is flooded land. There is a split of land that is not flooded, but the entirety of that frontage is environmentally protected lands. And if the road was not given to the municipality, it would not create a natural severance. So then the split of land would not be separate. Can I answer any other questions?
I'll put it up to council if they have any particular questions, first of all. I guess the one that arises from that, it's the first I've heard, and it's good to hear this, I'm glad you're here, that not willing to or doesn't wish to turn that over to the township. Well, what does he plan to do with the piece? And that would still be part of that lot one?
Yes. He doesn't wish to do anything with it. I don't believe there'd be anything that you really could do with that piece of land. Mostly that he does not wish to transfer the road to the municipality. And I know that the neighbor further on down the road, the Mallory lands, were able to get a consent without conveying the road. So,
and you, any idea what year that was, or putting you on the spot here? But
I'm afraid I don't.
That's interesting. That would have to research that one. It was prior to my time here, so. Council, any questions here of what we've heard? There are some differences from our resolution, so that's what we have to consider. And I'll open it to the public as well with any comments or questions. Yes, sir. Again, I just want to give you names.
No mic.
It's well, you
took it.
I can get up there. I'm just
no, no, that's fine.
So I guess the only thing I have to say is that I believe all the councilmen.
And just for a record, this is.
Oh, Reg Moore.
Thank you.
I believe all the council got a copy of my email, and I believe Carly sent a copy to Patrick. And so at the end of my email, there's 5 points there, and I just wondered if anybody wants to address those points. Probably most specifically the planning board.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Reg Moore. I know that there is some discussion about the creation of 3 new lots, and if council wishes, I know the applicant would be willing to include the severed lot one with the retained lands if needed, and I think I've addressed the road acquisition part of Mr. Moore's questions. I'm not sure what other points we may want to address.
Okay, so that would leave as waterfront then, because it's not going to be waterfront after it's rezoned. That would be retained plus 2 lots as opposed to the 3.
Correct.
And he's interested in doing that.
So whenever you say severed lot 1 through the chair, Patrick, whenever you say severed lot 1, you mean all of lot 1 on the east side of the traveled road, all of the flooded lands on the west side of the traveled road, including the traveled road?
Severed lot 1 would include the flooded lands on the west side and the not flooded lands on the east side with the right of way going through.
So if the applicant is willing to do that and the 2 severed lots get rezoned to RR, I would say that probably satisfies everyone. There's no right-of-way concerns because the right-of-way is all through severed lot 1. The applicant's retaining that, so the other owners would still have their right-of-way. There's no issues there at all. There's no issues with the new lot. The only issue I see left is that I think the road should be transferred to the township in front of the 2 severed lots. It doesn't satisfy 5.8 of the official plan unless it is.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Reg Moore. Just know that we have a precedent that's been done in the past.
Which applicable official plan was in place whenever that was done?
I I don't know that off the top of my head, but I do believe that the that consent was not done too long ago. I believe within the last 5 years. I can certainly check on that.
So I guess the only question I have then, did it comply with the official plan? Or was it done not in compliance with the official plan as well? That doesn't set precedent if it's wrong.
No, it doesn't, but was it done? And it, was it all legal is what we're getting at, I guess. I mean, it's he had the consents, and they're all registered, I suppose, and I don't know whether he's sold or what he's done on the property since. So if there are no repercussions to it, then I guess we have two different situations here.
And I really don't know why the applicant wouldn't want to transfer the road. The road is a traveled road that's maintained by the township now. So why he wouldn't want to transfer that road and relieve himself of the liability of it, I have no idea. Because right now, as it stands, if there's an accident on that road, he could be named in a lawsuit. Maybe he doesn't know that.
Maybe he's not aware of that. I know that's a good point. That you know, because nothing has happened, then maybe he doesn't think there is any liability. But.
I did mention to the applicant that there may be a liability issue there.
Oh, okay. So he is aware. Okay.
Patrick, did he say why he didn't want to transfer the road?
I'm not sure if it was just because the neighbor, he feels his neighbor set a precedent, or if it's the fact that the survey would have to be done at his expense and then the road transferred to the municipality.
Anything else?
I don't think I have anything else. I guess I do have one other thing. I don't know why that Mowry land would have been done that way, because I think it's always been the policy of the township to have the road allowance surveyed, and if there's any encroachments, have them transferred. Always been. There's that.
Oh, yeah, so I was on the planning board years ago, and that was always a clause that was inserted.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like it was this time. And that's my question. Because it wasn't inserted, and yet everything is still above board, everything is worked out as far as we know, then I guess the question is, how important is it in this particular case that we get it? I mean, it is still a traveled road, a trespass road, I guess, or a deviation, or whatever you want to call it. They can't be blocked up.
No.
People can't be stopped from using it.
My experience is the township has a right to maintain the wheel tracks.
Right.
Whenever you don't own it. So that's what a trespass road is.
Right.
So the owner can stop you from cutting trees, ditching, whatever.
Which we run into in the past with property owners.
Yeah. So you're looking after the wheel tracks, nothing else, if they decide not to let you.
Yeah. Although, again, we had a solicitor in on that, and there were some trees cut.
Yeah.
But that's another matter.
Just through the chair, a question to Patrick. So it sounds like the applicant, Mr. Jameson, is basing his ownership of the road on hearsay from a neighbor, not on anything that you've looked up the records through and found out when it was done or anything.
Through Mr. Marantara, but it's not hearsay. I do know about the Mallory consent. I just don't know what year it was.
Oh, okay.
And I think the only other point about not transferring the road is that there was some discussion about could that dry piece of land on the other side of the road be sold separately conveyed, built upon. And I don't think it could be. I don't think it can be used. Its frontage is entirely EP, and its size wouldn't allow any enough setback for anything to be built. So.
So there is a possibility there, and this is not helping with the previous consent that you mentioned, but that to ensure that piece, if the township actually retained ownership, got ownership of that roadway, then there would be another lot for natural servants on the other side, that could be transferred to the township if you're concerned about other people building over there. As in lieu of different fees that we have here, planning fees, not the planning fees, I guess it would be the fee in lieu of parkland dedication.
Parkland.
Yeah.
that may be something you're interested in.
Just to add something here, I think that doesn't apply anymore if he's retaining lot one, or separate lot one, proposed separate lot one, because it includes all of the land.
But what I'm saying is that he includes all of separate lot one up to the road, and then his lot one wouldn't go across the road, that it would be redesigned. So lot one would just go up to the road, and then the road would be turned over, and the property on the other side. So lot one would actually be severed itself.
So you're back to creating three plus the retained then?
No, the one is, he's not asking for that. It's a natural severance then. He's not actually doing it. If that's being turned over to the township.
You're still creating three on the east side of the road, plus the retained. Not counting the flood events.
Yeah, and again, with that whole situation, we've just gone through it. Maybe you recall on Burnett's Road. I don't know where that one's sitting right now, but that was three and it retained as well on waterfront. And they became rural. So if we talk about precedent, it just happened recently.
I think there's two rural and one waterfront, wasn't there?
One waterfront retained. There were actually three, and there was a lot of addition as well. So there were three and it retained.
And it was an issue at that time. I don't know where that ended up.
No, I don't know either.
It was an issue at that time as well. So.
Well, that's my concern about all of the whole planning issues, that some of them seem to go through. I'm just wondering how restrictive these laws are and how enforceable they are. Or are they just policies? I'm really not sure, because some people seem to be able to do this. And if you have a planner supporting you, and we get to the OLT, it's the planner they listen to, not council. If a planner is saying, putting his license on the line, saying that it's all above board, planners disagree too. I've seen it many times at the OMB, now at the OLT, and it doesn't seem to be anything black and white. It just seems to be interpretation. And if the planners disagree on something, then it's left up to a judge as such, or an OLT member, to make the decision.
The only thing I can say is I don't know why we have an official plan that's only by law. Then we might as well throw them in the garbage.
Well, talk to municipal affairs. That's why we have them.
In order to have your own planning autonomy here. Otherwise, it's going to be Queen's Park where it was before. So if you don't have planning documents, there's no opportunity to do planning in your own township.
Well, with the documents, too, they vary from township to township fairly dramatically.
Yeah, and they're approved based on all the public's input and all the agency's input and the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing.
Right, they seem to have the final say.
Yeah.
But I'm just as an example, in Whitestone, for rural lots, they're allowed three severed and a retained.
Yeah.
And we're only allowed two and a retained. I think probably Municipal Affairs that put that in there, I'm not sure. But
we had to fight to get that.
We even had to fight to get
we
that.
We had to fight to get that.
Yeah, there used to be a date involved, so after you created so many that from that date on, you were done.
Yeah.
That was the fight at the time. All I can say is that's policy in the official plan. It's up to council to decide if they're going to follow policy or not, I guess.
Go ahead, Councillor Hassan.
Yeah, Reg, when I read the OP and our zoning and it allows for the 3+1 in the waterfront areas. Well, in our official plan and the zoning, all of that land is under the waterfront.
My email, I referenced to section 701.13 of the official plan.
Mm-hmm.
And did you read that?
Yes, I did. And it had a clause in there where you could just bury the lines wherever you wanted to.
So it says that everything 150 meters beyond the waterfront is functionally not part of the waterfront and could be considered rural.
Right, but I don't have the clause in front of me, but it did carry on to say that depending what lines the council of the day, I guess, wanted to go by.
Well, it didn't say that. No, it said depending on topography. So if you had a 100-acre lot, I suppose, and it was a separate 100-acre lot, and it had no water frontage, it would be more than 150 meters beyond the waterfront, but then they might say it's all waterfront because it's functionally all one lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that clause there, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you read it out?
707.01.13, and that's beginning... And lands that physically and functionally front on recreational water bodies in the municipality have been designated in the waterfront policy designation. This policy category will include single residential dwellings, seasonal residential dwellings, existing tourist commercial uses, and uses identified as permitted as of right uses in bylaw 95-12 as amended, existing special provisions permitted as of right uses that permit uses of a tourist commercial nature as uses and uses identified as permitted as of right uses in bylaw 95-12 as amended. The waterfront designation will generally not apply to lands beyond 150 meters of the shoreline, but may vary up or down to reflect the variable depths of lands and conditions in individual circumstances. It is the intention of this plan that lands beyond the functional limits of the waterfront may be considered as rural.
I find that pretty clear.
Yeah, except that years ago when we designed that, it's been changed since. It was 300 meters. That's what
right.
I started at.
Yep.
And then he reduced it to 150 because of people,
right.
Their input. So that's my question in all of this. 300 to 150, who made that change and which one is accurate? If they can change it that quickly, that amount, which is really accurate? Is there really any figure?
That's what's accurate to me.
Yeah.
It's on paper right now. What's been passed and looked at by everybody.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying is...
It's like law. It's like Stephen.
Yeah, but I'm saying what led up to that. That's why I'm getting back to the whole planning purpose. Who decided that 300 was no longer acceptable and 150 was? Just because that's in there now, you're right. We could go back and do an official plan amendment and make that 450.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's the reasoning in that? Shouldn't there be some logic?
Is there any logic in any planning?
I don't know. That's my question. I'm beginning to wonder.
I've always said there wasn't.
I think a lot of times when we're doing the official plan and we do put in figures and municipal affairs comes back and says, no, we won't accept that. You have to have this.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we have to change the figures to go with what they want, or they won't let it go through, no matter how hard we fight.
Okay, Patrick.
I just wanted to make a comment that perhaps in theory, the flooded land could be considered waterfront issue.
To the north and west?
Yes.
So that would be waterfront as well, which, okay, then that creates... Right.
If you look at the mapping for the official plan and Schedule A, the zoning bylaw, the mapping, they are both waterfront. It is waterfront. It's waterfront on the mapping.
Right.
For sure. But to me, there's two arguments. There's 70113, which changes those lands to rural. They don't, even though the road is a trespass road, they don't functionally front on the water because there's a road separating from the trespass road. And so those are rural lands, as far as I'm concerned, that are away from the water. They're 150 meters away, and they don't functionally front on the water.
Now
physically or functionally.
But now we're in a situation, and as I said, the Burnett's Road was an example. A planner had told us, and continues to tell us, that this is all acceptable. This is legit. This is what you can interpret. So I guess, as council, if it gets to an OLT situation, who are they going to listen to? Our planner, or to us, or to you? And if a planner is backing this method, that's a problem we have right now.
First of all, John Jackson Planning Inc. is not your planner, not the township planner. He's the planner that does work for the planning board. Near as I know, your planner right now is J.L. Richards.
Right.
Maybe they should be chiming in on it. I have no idea. That's up to council.
But I think that the person who made this official plan for us was John Jackson. At the time, he was the township planner. And now he's saying that based on this, based on the plan that he helped make, this is all a good application.
Yep. That author also said that it wasn't good planning in his email to have split zones and split policies. And I give you an example of my property. So what does that tell you? You can go ahead and listen to the planner if you want.
But there is split zoning. Whether
yes.
It's good policy or not, it does exist.
But he just said in an email a week or two ago that it wasn't good policy, yet it's all throughout our official plan.
Right. Yeah. I'm just looking down the road when we get to the, and I've watched some OLT hearings, and they don't listen to the average person. They listen to solicitors, they listen to planners, and whoever else they want to listen to, I guess, but it's hard for an individual to go in with no background. And so I'm in a situation right now, and I'll put this out to council too, where we've been given planning, as you say, it's not a planner, but the secretary treasurer, he's not the township planner. We can certainly defer this and go to our planners, J.L. Richards. I don't know whose cost. Or we can proceed with what the previous council did with Burnett's Road.
From the sounds of what Patrick said, the only issue right now...
Ownership of the road.
...is the ownership of the road in front of the two lots that are proposed to be severed.
Right.
Not three. So that's the only issue at this point right now. If he's willing to go with two lots, he's satisfied everyone else that I've said.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it's just a question of whether, which takes priority here, whether it's the ownership of the road, what council really wants, or is it to let the three lots and everything go through? That's the decision that has to be made. Which one wins out in the policy that exists? Because as you say, there's also policy in there. You get 10 meters from the center of the road. I don't think it's an option. I think it says that they will require that.
Yeah.
So
in the official plan.
So we're ignoring that now in the official plan.
Well, if you do that, Mark.
Yeah. So that's what I say. Which one wins out? Which clause? Councilor Zula.
So... that other suggestion that you had, could that not go back to the Mr. Jameson about giving the road and then the township taking that other strip down the side? If he's worried about somebody doing something with that?
It sounds like that would, through John Jackson, that would be acceptable. But through Reg, it wouldn't, because you're not following the policy of two and retain, because they're rural. That's a waterfront in that particular case. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head here, redesign in some way, because you're saying out of the two pieces of waterfront, in a sense, there's a retained, which is waterfront, and lot one, which is waterfront.
I need to be clear on what Debbie's saying before I say that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
you said a strip down the side. You're talking about to the west of Traveled Grail.
The part that's swampy.
Yeah. So the strip you're talking about is 10 meters from the center line? Or what strip are you talking about?
Well, the road as it is, right? And then there's a strip on that side if he was working.
No, there's a whole big
footage. It's a bigger piece, yeah.
Yeah, well, there was concern that he would develop that, right?
I had never ever mentioned that concern. My concern was it was creating another lot.
Yeah, creating another lot, and who knows what would happen if that. So I thought you had mentioned that if the township took that piece of land, right? Then that would alleviate that problem, if he would go along with that.
That would alleviate that problem, but then Reg just pointed out there's another problem. So, and that's what we have to look at, the whole...
Well, the Mr. Mayor, you did mention, too, if he was willing to transfer all the land, that alleviates the problem for sure, then if he did that. All the flooded land.
And the
council could think about taking it in lieu of parkland or whatever.
Right, but you were, when I mentioned that, then that's when you had said you're creating another lot.
Now it's township takes it all year.
Okay.
Because you're taking 10
meters.
Well,
we're back to what I had said then.
You're taking 10 meters from the east side, from the center road,
right.
Center of the road to the east, and from the center of the road, all the rest of the land to the west,
right.
And north.
But he's still getting lots 1, 2, 3 and retained.
You're still getting one extra lot, yes,
yeah.
If you do that. Yeah. Right. But I guess there's a split policy on them and a split zoning on them as well. If they're rezoned, those lots are rezoned to rural, so they would actually comply with 70113. They may not completely comply with 58 of the official plan in the creation of the numbers. But because they have a split on them, I think council would have an argument there that the waterfront permits 3 plus the retained and the rural permits 2 plus the retained, so you'd have an argument for having the 3.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. Get Patrick back in on this one. You have a lot to take back to the advocate.
I do. I'm just listening. And whatever council wishes to do.
Well, I'm just wondering, this, and I know you said the time is of the essence, you don't want to hold them up, but obviously we have some discussion here, and I'm wondering, again, if we consider deferring this, and you go back to the applicant with the proposals that we've thrown out there, if they're clear to you what our proposals are.
There's quite a few different
ones. There are quite a few.
Councillor Kekkonen.
Okay, so I'm looking at this situation, and currently, right now, all of this land is waterfront. So when the application is going in, it's waterfront. Because the...
When you're talking about waterfront, though, physically looking at it, it's waterfront?
As according to the definition, physically and land that is physically and functionally front on recreational waterfront.
Official plan map, it shows it as waterfront.
Waterfront.
Yeah, and okay. The zoning bylaw shows it as waterfront.
Okay, so...
But it doesn't physically and functionally front on the water because there's a trespass road separating.
But the trespass road doesn't create the lots until it's deeded to the township. Is that correct?
He couldn't create a boat ramp across that road to the lake, and he doesn't physically and functionally front on the water. He couldn't stop up and close that road. He couldn't tell the township they can't use it anymore.
But so you're saying that is an insurmountable obstacle to classify the north side of this piece of property as waterfront?
I think one of the most important statements in the official plan is that it's anything that's done, it's supposed to be good planning. And what you're talking about, I don't think is good planning.
Okay, because it sort of puts the pieces of the puzzle together. So if you can classify, as this application has gone in, as it is waterfront, because it physically and functionally front on recreational water bodies.
The council can agree to that, I can't.
Okay, so if that's the case, and... that allows for three and the retained.
Yes.
So that if the applicant were to consider that the retained and severed lot one south of the traveled portion of the road is one lot, which would be the retained, severed lot two is two, number two, that's retained, so severed lot two is actually severed lot one, severed lot three becomes severed lot two, and the flooded lands plus the road, if deeded to the township, becomes severed lot three.
That's not even a severance. That's not part of the severance if it's deeded to the township.
But it would be creating a lot, though, so you would have to account for that lot someplace?
I don't know whether you do or not. I don't think it's counted whenever it's given to the township.
But there, it would have to, wouldn't it, somewhere in, it would have to be accounted for that a third lot was created because of this consent.
You'd be getting a deed for the road allowance, and the road allowance on one side from the center would be a long ways out, that's all.
I'm just trying to look at how this can be.
I can't answer that question. Isn't a lot that I can... With consent, I know the right way is, but I'm not sure that would be or not.
If it's deeded to a municipality, it's not the creation of a lot.
I didn't think so. No.
But the municipality in the future, I don't want to complicate matters, if it fits all of the requirements, it could actually sever a piece, create a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in that case, if it doesn't create a new lot, then the applicant would be fine to have the retained lot. The severed lot one south of the traveled portion of the road, plus severed lot two and three, without the worry of they're going beyond the limit of three lots in the retained.
Yeah, that's what we were just discussing. Yeah. All those rock lots that get rezoned to rural residential, though.
Yes.
Yes.
So is that basically summarizing what we're actually working on then? basic license?
Well, that was a little different.
A little different? Okay.
Yeah. Because it's just saying conveying to the township the 20-meter road allowance, but now we're adding to the north and to the west that piece of property there that on the other side of the road. So it'll go beyond the 20-meter road allowance. It'll be that whole shop territory.
Yeah. So whether the applicant is willing to transfer that to the municipality. It's my feeling is, and I've been involved in severing some of my own land, it was that the township made me turn over the 20 meters each side of the center line.
I think
I think that is good planning, and I think that should be done in this application as we have on our motion. So just to consider that, whether it's in front of one and two, if that's the only two we're going to allow, or whether it goes on right through, all the way through in front of severed lot one. Now, if we took, we could do that. Now, if the applicant was willing to turn over that large piece of a wetland or EP zone, I don't see any advantage of the township taking that part. And I'd be surprised if the applicant would want to turn it over to the township. But it's something that they could be asked.
Well, I'm wondering if it changes, to clarify it as well. Because it's coming in here, as Patrick had said, as a possibility of combining the retained and lot one. That's what one of his suggestions was. And now, if that's turned, he wouldn't have to do that. Is that what you're getting at? That you could still have the retained lots one, two, and three?
Yep.
And then to turn over, that might be the thing, so that he still gets, he doesn't have to do retained in lot one. It's just that his lot one would end at the road, or 10 meters from the road, and then and he would lose the other side on the northwest.
Which he...
Well, he's got another lot out of it, and he won't have to worry about any buildings on the other side of the road.
Well, he can easily just reapply for the,
the
balance.
But that's another cost.
So it'll be up to the applicant whether they want to just reapply and keep that land on the other side.
Right, but I'd heard Patrick at the start here, maybe I misheard, that his concern was actually creating another lot on the other side that somebody might build on. That's why he didn't want to give up the road. It'd be a natural severance then.
I think that was mentioned previously. Someone had asked whether it would create another lot, and it would be a natural severance if the road was deeded to the municipality, but I don't believe that piece, that is dry, would be usable.
So if that is a concern of his or somebody's, then that would concern would be alleviated. I'm not sure what Patrick can take back here. We need some clarification. I'm looking at deferring this until he does go back to the applicant, but it's up to council. Because our resolution does not say that he's combining retained in lot one. We're taking it, the application as it stands, and there's a separate lot. And now we've got the possibility that he would retain or combined retained in lot one, if there's a concern about the three lots and a retained from two lots that are actually maybe three that are effectively rural.
But if it goes the way it reads here with the three lots plus the retained and he conveys the road to the township, then that's fine. If Patrick takes that back to him and said that's what the council wants, well, you're saying that he won't go for the road given to the township?
I don't believe so, no. I can go back to him with another option, see if he, I don't know what difference it would make, but if he would only convey it up to the to access Cyber Lot 2.
Right, maybe that's the way we could look at this right now. If you could put in words what we've tried to put together here, that what would you be taking back to the applicant?
I think what I'm hearing is one option is to convey the lands west of the road to the municipality that would alleviate the any question of a lot severed by the conveyance of the road. And I know that it is an option for the applicant to combine a portion of retained and severed lot one, if need be. But then we still have the question of the conveyance of the road.
Mm-hmm. And that was, his problem was, if I remember, was the cost for the survey, right?
I believe that that is one contributing factor to it for him. That you give a municipality land and then you pay to have a survey.
So if he gave us that piece on the west side, and then in lieu of parkland, were we saying that? Like, so there wouldn't be a fee?
You're saying that? Go ahead.
No, is that what was mentioned before?
It was mentioned before, yes.
Yeah. Is that a possibility?
But then there's nothing about the survey there. Not those surveys.
Right, so that everything west of the road, no, I guess north and west of the road would be conveyed to the municipality, but not the road itself.
I think the idea was the road itself. And that's where the survey would come in to make sure that the road is part of that lot to the north and the west.
I was just thinking, if he didn't have to pay the parkland, then he could pay for the survey.
Right, but he's giving up property in lieu of the parkland.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I just chime in here? If he's willing to transfer everything north and west of the travel road, including the 10 meters from the center line to the east.
Right, to the east, yes.
Then the survey is only going to be for the lot lines of the new lots being created, nothing else.
Oh.
Right?
I think what you're saying would still include the rural belt.
It would be exactly what's drawn on Tullock's map, everything to the north and the west. So it only goes to the lot lines, that map, for the new lots.
So you're saying to this, from the center line of the road to the west?
To the west and north.
And north.
Yep. And from the center line of the road to the east to the lot lines.
Which would have to be surveyed anyway, right?
Yeah, it has to be surveyed. Well, maybe it doesn't retain the road, but he's got to survey the front lot lines, so.
Yeah.
Really, it's from the center line of the road to the front lot lines.
Right, so that the only remaining thing is that the municipality gets the road.
That's all part of it.
Well, I can certainly take that option back to the applicant. I don't know. And I think if council would like to see it, and if Mr. Moore would like to see it, I can look up the
Mallory.
The Mallory consent.
Well, we can and can't, because whether we really shouldn't be. I guess we have a lot of situations too where if you talk of precedent, you're just talking that particular area, but precedent within the township, that's been, as I said, way back when, back in the 80s on, and prior to my time even probably, when that was done, the 10 meters. So there has been much more precedent where it has been the 20 meters.
I was just going to add to that. I think I'm hearing too much concern here on the part of the council and on Patrick of satisfying what the applicant wants. I don't ever remember as an applicant, I thought it was always my responsibility to make sure I satisfied the planning board and the council. I don't remember having to have them satisfy me. So
what we're throwing out here, he has an application. And it's sort of a negotiation. We don't want the application turned down.
Right.
If we can negotiate and he agrees to, you know, the parameters that we've set out, I think that's a good thing.
I just keep hearing he doesn't want to transfer the road.
That's what I'm hearing. But as takes that back, Patrick takes it back to him.
Councillor Hoskins said, and I said to myself, I was never given that option. I was told I had to serve it.
Right.
If there was any encroachments, I had to transfer it.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is there's no guarantee that, you know, it would be passed if he doesn't survey it,
right,
or transfer it. So what we're doing is putting that back as an option. And I appreciate what you said about the surveying. If that was a concern of his too, maybe the costs are down there. And I haven't anticipated where Councillor Zulak was going, that she didn't quite say it, but the township, and the, Rich would want to hear this probably, was the township going to pay for the survey too? Is that where you're leading
to?
No. Oh, okay.
No.
No. Okay, good.
I didn't say that.
Misinterpreted. So I don't know, Patrick, is that enough to...
It is.
If we defer this and you can take it back?
Sure. It's certainly enough to send a couple of options back to the applicant.
Okay, and it'll be a couple more weeks in, Carly, but back on the agenda?
March 7th.
March 7th? Okay. Okay. So we have the resolution on the floor, and it just...
Can I just say one other thing? Or
yes, I'm sure.
What's the next planning board meeting?
This one coming up is the 27th, so it's the third Monday of the...
The 21st.
There should be one in February. We had one at the end of January, January 30th.
Yeah. Yes, February 27th is the next planning board meeting.
So, yeah, four, I guess that's what you're getting at. This should be deferred there too and not on the agenda until we get this straightened out.
Right.
It was deferred before, I think, removed from the agenda. So
yeah.
That's a good point.
But you're going to hit me with it.
Put this out to council. We have the resolution on the table, and it's moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. And I don't know whether you want to, rather than moving and seconding it, you want to vote for deferral. More information?
Yes.
Yeah, give Patrick and go back to the applicant and discuss it and with our options and concerns. And with the flood lands, if they thought they would release that. I would almost think there's, I believe on Larmer Lake, there was just some lands bought up and deemed as protected forever property or whatever. That would be a perfect piece of property to do that also. I don't think there's any advantage to the township owning it, but to preserve it.
Now don't confuse matters here.
Yeah, okay. It's just a side thought.
Another option. Okay, for deferral, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor? Opposed? Sorry to belabor that. You're certainly welcome to stay for the rest if you wish.
Get out of here while you can.
Well, we appreciate your coming because I know John had a couple other meetings and you filled in for him. So
only two places to be.
Yeah.
Only two other places.
Yeah.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Now we have resolution 23-153, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of Corporation Cutter hereby add item 15.2 to the agenda, deeming an original road allowance surplus. Under planning matters resulting from matters discussed in closed session, item 5.3, subsection 2. Discussion?
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Oh, okay. All the questions, all those in favor?
I didn't hear you. I wasn't listening. Sorry, David. I wasn't listening.
Those are two different things. Can we just speak louder? moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of Corporation of Township of Gilderland hereby add item 15.2, which is where we're at right now, to the agenda, deeming an original road allowance surplus under planning matters resulting from matters discussed in closed session, item 5.3, subsection 2.
Well, we can pass that though first and then the overage. I guess it would be still.
It's these both fall under 5.3. Can she move or second it if she's not?
No, she didn't. Okay.
Well, I thought, sorry, it's you and I. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Okay.
Confused.
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
She didn't close that to keep you here. She just she has a conflict, so you can open it again.
That's okay.
I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried.
Bring her back in, Mike.
Well, no, we haven't done it yet. That was just to put it on the agenda.
Sorry. Yep.
So, resolution 23-154, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryan. The resolved corporation, Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, is hereby deemed Richmond Road allowance between concession 12, part lot 21, and concession 13, part lot 21, District Ferry Sound surplus. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Services Administration Board minutes of the January 12th, 2023 meeting. Resolution 23-155, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Keller does hereby receive the minutes of the January 12th, 2023 meeting of the Ferry Sound District Social Services Administration Board for information purposes. Discussion? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Staff reports and recommendations for approval, 17.1. Resolution 23-156, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report bylaw 2023-01, the monthly report for January 2023 for information purposes. Discussion? Is that any more detailed than the first one that we'd asked for?
A little, not much.
Well, this is where we have to convey to the bylaw enforcement if you want more information and exactly what you want, because if it's not much more detailed, if you want more, then he needs to know what you're looking for.
So this is for the month.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it seems to have enough information for us, as far as I can see. I don't know what else he could offer up.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing that I would like to see is if there is repeat offenders or repeat offenses from the same people. We've only got three occurrences on this report, which is, you know. But, I mean, are any of these people people that he's had contact with in previous months, right? I think it's a relatively minor matter, at least on this report, but I know when we were talking about short-term rentals, that was a big concern that was raised. So if we can do that, do we need to change the resolution or amend the resolution to do that or to ask him to do that, or can we just convey that information to him?
I would think just convey it. We're just accepting this.
Okay.
But and the dog's running at large, I mean, that could be repeat too. That's a good one you're pointing out. Councilor Kaikin.
I do recall that previous bylaw enforcement reports, they would include the hours of the hours of driving, kilometers driven, a little more specific in those details. Yeah, well, you sort of want to know what you're paying for and how many hours are being spent on, you know, research for bylaws, you know, attending these residences or the complaints. And I was talking to someone recently and indicated that the Dog Owners Liability Act is provincial legislation. So if the township did not feel that that was an expense they wanted to incur, that's something that the OPP could attend on behalf of the municipality, not as a bylaw issue, but as provincial legislation.
That may be important because he has on here as well that he's written the drafts of the dog bylaw.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. He's just done that on his own, I guess. And I'm not sure where it is or when we're going to see it or why we have it. So we may have to talk to him and see where he's going with that. Now, you mentioned with the police, what do they do in a situation, provincial legislation, Dog Owners Liability Act? Do they have an impound situation? Can they pick up a dog from the street, or do they rely on bylaw enforcement for that?
I think the, I'm not sure of the details, just because you have to look at what it is that the Dog Owners Liability Act is focusing on, and I'm not exactly sure how they would deal with each of those situations, but there has been a request by the OPP that McKellar Township does participate in the Parry Sound Dog Impound Center, just because they do attend scenes where there are dogs involved, whatever it may be, the owners passing away or in car accidents, and they need all municipalities to have some arrangement where the dogs can be brought to, and the OPP are not, you know, trying to find a foster home for a dog that's in distress.
Now, I know years back we were part of that. They were going to put something over by the Canadian Tire. I don't know what happened. It seemed to fizzle out. I'm not aware of what the impound right now, any situation in Parry Sound, who belongs to it, who doesn't, how much they pay. We need some background on that. And I don't know whether they ought to open it up to the public. Maybe we have some information here. Reg?
You're hamming up.
Yeah, do you want me to speak? That?
Sure.
Council didn't say it. So, we were in the group to begin with. It started with that question. We were in the group to begin with. I was the representative. You were the review time. And the costs were getting so high, we just dropped out.
Right.
So I can't remember what municipalities stayed in it. I think there was only three or four maybe stayed in it. But anyway, I don't know what the status of the OPP is now, but at that time, they would not enforce. We had a meeting, Gary Joyce and I had a meeting with the staff sergeant, and they wouldn't enforce the Dog Owners Liability Act. They said no. There's lots of things that are provincial legislation, so, you know, like municipal acts, provincial legislation, so they're going to enforce that. So they wouldn't enforce it. They just said they didn't have the staff at the time. So they always called our bylaw. Gary always would have. So if they had an accident situation, they did up the highway here one time, and there was a vicious dog in the vehicle, and they called him, he come and got the dog out. They wouldn't go near it.
No.
That's what they called me, and that's what I said to them. He doesn't have a gun. You're the guy with the guns. Why do you want him to go in the car with the vicious dog? Anyway, they wouldn't. He had to go and get the dog out of the vehicle. So anyway, you'd have to check with the OPP now and see what they do now, but that was what they said at that time. Staff sergeant wouldn't have had to do with it.
Okay, good. That's a good question to ask, then.
Yeah, you could ask that, and we'll certainly have to have my law enforcement officer as well, and where he's going with this, and what other townships are doing right now, and whether there is an impound facility, and who's paying for it, and how much. I recall just what you were saying, that the costs just about end. Yeah. And we were only dealing with a few incidents, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It was at the time that the other one closed just out of town there.
Right.
I'm not sure, but seems to me like we had over the years a lot of complaints about dogs, dog complaints, and the police said that if we had a bylaw that they wouldn't attend. Is that right? Do you know?
The OPP do not enforce municipal bylaws currently.
Right, so that's probably... Yeah, so if we have a bylaw, then they won't, they won't attend, they leave it up to us, right? Is that correct?
That's sort of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I believe that all the West Perry Sound municipalities are partners in the current dog impound center, except for two. So that's why there's a bit of a request for the two remaining municipalities to participate in the dog impound center. There's currently some correspondence that's being circulating between McKellar and I believe the individual in charge of the impound center to get some information on costs and what the requirements are of participation. So there, hopefully there'll be some information coming
forward
soon.
Okay.
Just one other thing to add to that, you want to bear in mind that McKellar didn't pay for the initial cost of the building, so.
So there might be an add-on when you join, yes. Well, that's interesting because sometimes they do that, sometimes they don't, which is rather interesting.
Yeah, it might have been good to hold up.
Yeah. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Fire Department month-end status update. And resolution 23-157, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report FD-2023-05, the month-end status update for January 2023 for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Peck.
So there's been an inquiry to see if councilors can participate in a live fire experience in full gear and under supervision.
You want the experience, I guess. Yeah. Don't want to read about it. I don't know who's preparing that. Have you checked your liability? Yes.
I don't know who put that request in, but it wasn't me.
We'll wait in anticipation. Any other discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Update on internet services and telegraph IT coordinator. And resolution 23-158, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receive an internet service provider update from IT Coordinator Dan Hildebrandt for information purposes. And further, be it resolved that the IT Coordinator, in cooperation with office staff and with whatever other assistance he may require, coordinate the purchase and installation of a Starlink business service provider plan to service the Community Center building, including the McKellar Township Public Library, all the while observing that time is of the essence. Discussion?
So this looks very familiar to the report that was dated May 12th, 2022 that we received June 14th, 2022. A couple of little updates. I do want to note that I don't think it was until recently that anyone has contacted our current internet provider to determine what they can do to resolve any issues or come and determine if there are any issues. So I think that has sort of kept things not moving forward, you know, previously. Is there any initial basic estimate of what the Starlink total would cost?
It's in there on page four. It's $635 a month and an upfront cost of $31.70. That's accurate. I looked it up today just to make sure that the information is up to date, and it is. So now here he doesn't call this in this section, he doesn't call it Starlink Business as opposed to, well, the product I have at home is just called Starlink, but it's Starlink Residential if you want me to say those words. But this information is complete and correct. I looked up, he doesn't mention it here, Starlink Residential, you join a waiting list. I was on the waiting list for about 18 months. Starbuck business. They do not have a waiting list. Basically, I looked it up. I put in the municipality's address and everything else, and it told me that we would get it by April if we applied today. So, although it didn't commit to a date in April, it just said April, and that's, you know, let's face it, 60 days. But I don't know if it would go faster or not. But
well, that was, you were inputting information there. I'm just saying if we get, depending on how this resolution carries or doesn't carry, but if it did carry, then staff would be involved as well. Hmm. And I'm not saying they have any extra pull, but
no.
Who knows? And my concern is that, as Councilor Kacker has already said, this report is much different from what we saw before. There aren't really recommendations, but it does tend to lean one way because of what we've been receiving or not receiving, and we can't let it continue. We did discover, I think, that there was a plan somewhere back in 2008, and it's only giving us, it's a residential plan, apparently for 6 months, I think it was, from what we heard from the previous provider. They're still providing, and of course, what I'm suggesting here, too, is a suggestion came out from a resident earlier that we don't cut ties necessarily if this all goes into place. We don't cut ties with the one we have now, and we keep that as a backup for a period of time and see how things are working. And if one does go down for whatever reason, then because I was speaking to the VNet provider, she was down east, New Brunswick, I think, and of course she's representing VNet, and she's the one that got things in motion, and they were supposed to be investigating whether they can improve the service to us, similar to what Perry Sound had, and of course we don't have the same hookups, so that we couldn't possibly do that. They did say that, maybe for where she's coming from, I'm not sure, that even satellites can give you problems. She didn't mention any particular company. And she did also say that they're only, I talked to the service department as well, only provide service to the outside of the building. Anything inside is, of course, the township's responsibility, any of the equipment, whatever has to be done there. But we've been assured by RIT that the equipment is fine, that nothing wrong with it, it's top-notch. So if it's just a matter of getting to the outside of the building with a service provider, then I don't think we can continue the way we are right now. And it'd be hit and miss if we started it up again, because the service they're providing is very low level. And I think from the figures that IT specialist has given us, the figures, at least possible figures from Starlink, are much better. And they seem to go down less often. So I'm thinking it's a good attempt on our part anyway on restoring the service that people have requested and that since COVID they're pretty well demanded. And I think we have to try something. Now, I mentioned in here too, this resolution, if you look at it, includes the library. We discovered the other evening, it was rather interesting. They have their own contract, I guess, with the service provider, and I'm not sure. And I know they are a separate organization, a separate corporation, but since it's all one building, I'm thinking, you know, the one would provide service for all. And whether they want to, if it takes place, if it all works out well, we might get some money back from them. I'm not sure how they would do that. It wouldn't cost them then to have their own service provider. But they might stay with the company they have now, too. I have no idea. Councilor Craig?
Yeah, I'm not opposed at all with upgrading the system to Starlink, and particularly if the library and the municipality were sort of partners in this arrangement. That would cover for sure over what we would pay over the duration of a year, which be currently is over, well, close to $4,000 or a little over $4,000, and the one-time hardware cost of $3,170. And this is the price of doing business. We need to be able to provide high-speed internet so that the office staff and our citizens can have full access and participation in what, you know, council business. So I'm not against, you know, going with the Starlink option.
Councilor Zulak.
I agree with the Starlink. I'm just curious, is there like a contract for so many months you have to have it, or can you cancel
no.
it right away?
There's no contract. You can cancel any time.
Okay.
Mind you, the hardware costs you won't get back.
Yeah, no, I meant the monthly.
Yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
to have, be on for
no.
12 months
no.
or something?
No. Yeah, for 2 weeks if you want it. But
yeah.
So.
And that would look
and there is an aftermarket. People that have residential Starlink, like me, that then find a better solution, actually actively sell their, basically just some hardware. It's a dish and some cables and things like that. But and I see it all the time. I follow it on Facebook just for the heck of it to see what's going on. But I'm not saying that we should go in on that basis. But if we could recover, you know, a couple $1,000s by selling it off afterwards, I mean, assuming that fiber ever does come through here, which I sincerely doubt, but... you know, what the heck, if we could, I would if it was me, that's for sure, so.
Okay, any further discussion?
The speeds that are quoted here, by the way, are what they officially quote. I got faster speeds than that today when I ran a speed test, because when I read through this again, I got out my phone and did a speed test, and I was faster than the 350 gigabits per, megabits per second. So I suspect that these, you know, under-promise, over-deliver is what I believe. I don't think I know anybody that has Starlink business, but they get very good reviews anyhow. And I hope that this would solve our problem with Zoom and the like, of course. So,
okay.
Does that matter? Like you said, you did the speed test. Did you do it here or at your house? Does that make a difference?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it at home with the residential service that I had, just to see what speeds I got. And it varies. I'll admit to that. It varies up and down. But that was during the blizzard this morning when it was really snowing hard. And just for the heck of it, I'm looking out the window. I thought, let's try it now and see what speed I get. So I expected it to be lower. It was actually higher. But it's just the vagaries of...
Yeah, like, I don't know much about that stuff. But yeah. What I'm saying is, if you did a speed test here in this building, would it make a difference? Or if you did it at home, or would it still be the same?
No, because I'm connecting to my dish at home, and I, technically I don't think that I could do a speed test using my equipment. It's an app that sits on my phone, and I can run it from there. And I think I could try and run it here, but it's going to run my dish at home, not something here local. So,
I think you'd use the example, too, that the person, I don't know where it was, not which town, he'd taken his to the fire department and set
it
up.
Uxbridge, last year. So,
so
when they had the tornado or... Can't remember, they had a weird name they used for the high winds that went through there and destroyed everything.
Right.
And the fire chief, I think, was the one that literally took his dish from home and took it to a municipal office, I don't recall exactly what again, and was able to restore it so they had emergency internet access, and they used it for the whole township. And Uxbridge, I think, is something in the range of 45,000 people, so... That's a big deal, and basically everything was gone because it took out power, trees, and homes, and everything else when it went through. So, Dureshko, that's what they called it, right? But it's a tornado by any other name, so.
Councilor Craig?
And it seems like they're promising those speeds of 350 megabits per second when there are 20 users on board using the system with the business. So that's in line with what we need here to function effectively.
I'm noticing too on some of them that they're requiring, I guess, they can control it because they're the host, that they just be an audio. People don't actually put on their own video, their own cameras. They cut those off because apparently that cuts into the power that you have available as well. So those are things that we can put into place. Any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Sorry, I should have mentioned there would be some other hardware costs, not that they're significant, could be in the hundreds of dollars, to install a mesh Wi-Fi system that would distribute the signal within the building at whatever points we want, and it's all wireless. Would be effectively what I have here. The reason I know this is my nephew, who's an IT administrator for a big trucking firm in Kitchener, had a building, and he said the building that he's in is a lot bigger, and I could tell you, but I mean, the point being that there would be some incidental costs. I don't think they would even add up to $1,000 altogether, but and I think that would be expected as part of an install, but it's just for the record, it is not just put that in and everything's clear. They should distribute the signal. So,
so for the record, we're on here. You're covering that, is that what
sure?
You're, okay.
Can I bring in my stuff from home and take it home every night?
We have 19 correspondence for consideration. Hurdle, Bradman, Blackwater, Smith Road intersection correspondence. We have resolution 23-159. Moved by Councillor Hassman, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the petition from Broadbent area residents. A letter dated February the 12th, 2023 from Joel and Eleanor Collins, and the email dated February 13th, 2023 from Kevin Murphy regarding the proposed four-way stop at the intersection of Broadbent, Hurdville, Blackwater, and Smith Roads. And further be it resolved, the Council directs staff to contact Nipissing Prairie Sound Student Transportation Services to inquire about the process of moving the current bus stop location in the area and work with parents to find an alternative school.